All right. Thank you, Sister Martin. That's the truth that we live with every day. Folks around us, folks we know, neighbors and friends, everybody needs the Lord. Amen. Well, we end our mission conference as we enjoyed it in Sunday school this morning, and I'll continue a little bit on that same theme this morning. Go with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Now, you get on through the Gospels and get over to the book of Acts, and we're getting near the end of the book in chapter 26. And I'll speak to you a little bit this morning on the big reason. That is the reason behind it all. Reason behind our missionaries being with us. Reason behind our mission conference. And the truth is that big reason has not changed. It was the big reason when the Bible was written. Big reason that the Lord Jesus himself come. And it's still the big reason now. In Acts chapter 26, I'll read a few verses and I'll try to give you the setting just a little bit later. But we go to verse 13, and the Apostle Paul is speaking. He is recounting again of what happened to him, how he got reached. So he's doing this before a king and before a governor. He has been arrested because of his testimony of getting the witness out, and he's got a hearing now here before the authorities. And he says, as he tells the story in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That was the illustration of the cows in the stall when they put the sharp sticks to keep them from kicking the stall apart. And that's what Paul was doing. He was hurting himself, fighting against God like everybody else does. Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me." That's what happened. That's why he's before the king here pleading his case. "Having therefore obtained help from God, I continued unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Here's what they said, and this is in Moses and the prophets, verse 23, "that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." I'll not read any further, but the old king almost became a Christian. A few verses down, old King Agrippa said to Paul, "Yeah, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But what was it all about here? Paul had gotten saved. The Lord Jesus had appeared to him on the Damascus Road, and now Paul was taking the message, the same message. He went to the Jews first, then he went to the Gentiles. He was continuing, and he was on a shipwreck, and it is because of that shipwreck now that he's finally, God's preserved him, and he's got into, before the king, he's finally going to Rome, and he's going to continue his witness. What's he doing? He's continually telling what happened to him. He's continually giving the gospel. Now, opposition followed Paul all the way through the book of Acts. You know why? It's down here in verse 18, if you look at it with me. Again, we read it. And what's his commission? What's he supposed to do? The Lord Jesus said, "I'll send you to the Gentiles." And he said, "to open their eyes." to turn them from darkness to light. And watch the next statement. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now, what's the challenge here? The devil challenged Paul from the time he got saved on. I want to say to you, don't think it's something strange that you meet a challenge when you try to serve the Lord. The devil's against it. You see his program right here in verse 18. The devil's program is to keep the whole world in darkness. The devil's program is to build his own kingdom in opposition to the kingdom of Christ. His plan is to keep men in darkness, but we're told to give them the gospel to bring the light, to break Satan's hold. Paul ran into that opposition all the way through the book of Acts. Just think about it a little bit. You have the church being empowered on the day of Pentecost. You have folks begin to get saved. You know what the next thing was? They started throwing the apostles in jail. For what? For witnessing. For getting the gospel out. You remember what Peter said? He said, whether we obey God or man, judge ye. And they went right on preaching. And in Acts 5:42, it says, in the temple and in every house, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. They kept on going. Opposition, but they kept on going. You find Paul coming through the book of Acts, and you'll find over there in about Acts 16 where there was a demon-possessed woman as they walked down the streets, pouring them out, got them arrested. They were put in the jail at Philippi, but they didn't stop witnessing. You remember the story. Midnight, God sent an earthquake and freedom. You know what they did? They got the jailer and his family saved, and they started the church. That's why you got the book of Philippians in your Bible, Paul writing back to the church at Philippi. What was it? He continued to witness. The devil continued to fight, but he just kept on doing it. You find him over in Acts chapter 23. They had him in jail over there. And there's a bunch of men bound themselves in a curse not to eat or drink until they kill Paul. Remember the story? Sort of reminds me of Hollywood. All of them was going to leave if Trump got elected. Often wondered if those Jews starved to death after they bound themselves, you know, to curse to not eat or to drink. The truth of the matter is, I haven't seen too many heading for Canada or Mexico from California either. It's amazing how things, how people run off at the mouth. But the truth is, Paul didn't let these things stop him. He had a mission. He continued on that mission. And they wanted to stop his witness, but he kept on speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's going on today when we can't understand why there's a big crowd? And by the way, I think we may have missed a bullet. I hope it proves out that way in the election. But that, you know who really lost the election? The global crowd. They don't want borders to our country. They want us to be as immoral to where everything goes, and there's no difference in the sexes and all of that. What are they doing? They're trying to put Satan's kingdom, whole Satan kingdom, in its darkness upon the earth. That's the plan. Folks, you need to understand that the Bible is the only place you're going to get the whole big picture about what's going on, and all that stuff you don't understand, it's clear in the Word of God. We are in a warfare, in a struggle with the devil. He wants to keep the world in darkness. He wants your kids in school to think there's no difference in the sexes. He wants you to see this global plan of sin that he's putting together. You all know why all the crybabying in the streets going on? You all know why all the liberals have suddenly become white in bedwetters? That's right. That's right. That wasn't a slip of tongue. You all know why? Because their kingdom is losing ground. Amen. Satan wants to keep them in darkness, and all of a sudden, some people in the rural countryside, some people in some churches like this, decided it's about time to see if we can save our nation. That's what happened. And why do we want to save it? So we can keep preaching this. So we can keep people hearing about Jesus. That's what it's about, so let them whine and do whatever else it is they do. Truth of the matter is, it's no different in the book of Acts. Opposition all the way. But Paul didn't quit. And the opposition is still here, but let's don't quit. Let's see. You see, what we're really fighting for is the freedom to keep doing this, to send the missionaries, to declare the truth. And listen, we come pretty close, and it's not over by no means, of having churches like this muzzled. And radio stations like this is going out on shut down. I mean, there's a crowd that would do that if they could do it. And they will keep on trying. And some of the whining that goes on tickles me in this sense. They say Trump might do this. Well, isn't that what he campaigned on? Isn't that a promise? I hope he does it. I hope he keeps at least half of them. I'll be real tickled if he does. And I'm not going to be a character witness for him. I'm just going to say I do remember what he promised. And if I have anything to do with it, I'll remind him of it every time I get a chance. Because I know what's at stake, whether or not we can keep getting the gospel around the world. That's what's at stake. Whether it can keep coming over this radio and over this pulpit, that's what's at stake. That's what the fight's about. That's why the devil is in it, to try to stop us. And that's what was going on right here. And he wants to stop the witness. Free speech in America has been under attack now for a good long time in Massachusetts right now. And I hope the election will help out. In the state of Massachusetts, one of the most liberal states, and liberals too good a word for it, in America, there's a court case right now where they're trying to stop the preachers from preaching like I'm preaching now. Sermons like this going out, where I can't say what this Bible says about homosexuality. You know what this Bible calls it? It calls it an abomination. I'm going to keep preaching the Bible. Paul went to jail for preaching the truth. But God took care of him. And the witness came on down to where you and I heard it one day ourselves. The good news that he did go to jail for declaring. You see, they hate this freedom of speech that we've had in America that our forefathers gave us. You know, you want to know what's behind a whole bunch of this stuff? That's it. That's it. I said something about Trump a while ago. He promised, and this is one I hope he keeps, he promised Brother Tom to try to undo what Lyndon Johnson did in 1954 when he passed the rule to keep preachers from saying anything about politics from the pulpit. Now, he's promised to get that rubbed out. By the way, some of us preachers have ignored it pretty big. We just believe it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And but see, listen, what our job is to get the truth out, the truth according to God, not according to the president, not according to the politics, not according to, no, according to God. And he's the only one we're supposed to be caring about getting the truth from. We got all kind of stuff going on. I recognize that. But the only answer for the world is the gospel. That's why Satan's opposing it so much. You see, what we've seen has been a little, this election has been one of the most eye-opening things. We've seen more that it's not just politics. It's a struggle over the life of a nation. That's exactly what it was. It's a big deal. A big deal. I'll make some of you mad, but I might as well. I'm enjoying myself right now. The losing party is about to elect a Muslim to lead it. A Muslim that has and is on record anti-Israel. You see what I'm talking about? The big struggle? Big struggle? Any of you ever hear on TV or some ad or see an ad somewhere, this is not your father's Oldsmobile? You know what I'm talking about? You understand? Well, I want to say this to you. This is not your father's political party that it used to be. You follow what I just said? I would have a hard time trying to back an anti-Israel Muslim that would cut my head off except for the stars and stripes over here giving me the protection. Help yourself. Big reason behind the battle? Stopping the gospel from going around the world. And yet, the gospel is the answer. And why do they hate it then? Say, Would it be all right just to have church? Yeah, That's what they want you to do. Just get in a room privately and have church. You heard the song a while ago, people need the Lord, but you know the way they're going to hear about the Lord is for you and I to take it outside these walls. Take it out personally. Take it out where we go. Take it out where we live. Take it out where we're working and where we're going to school. That's what we are commanded to do, and that's what our missions is all about, is to get the gospel around the world. And it's why Satan hates what we're up to. He hates the gospel. He hates the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, following the gospel of freedom, it's the gospel that liberates. It's the gospel that gives a man freedom. It's a gospel that gives a country freedom. And the enemies don't want you to be free. We just had a fellow die to reap his reward called Fidel Castro. And he made a prison out of his country, just like Alcatraz with the water around it. And people risked their lives to get on floats and even make boats out of cars and everything else they could do to escape that place. And if you want to see what Satan's plan is without the gospel, that's it. You want to see how socialism winds up, that's it. If you want to see what happens when there is no truth and the freedom that follows that truth, then you see an enslaved world that's following Satan's plan all the way. A world in darkness, as the verse here said. You know, we owe Jesus for the freedom we have in America. We owe our Christian forefathers that planted the Word of God in our foundation. I want to say something to you personally. A lot of you in radio land, some of you in this building, some of you enjoying a lot of freedom. You don't know where it came from. You don't know the price that was paid for it. Some of you that pass this church and say, oh, that church there, all it's about is money. You ought to pass the church and say, thank God I'm free today because of churches that preach the gospel and the truth that brought liberty through Jesus Christ. You ought to be thanking God for that. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm a beer drinking, gun toting, fine. You need to get saved and throw your beer away and keep your guns because of the freedom that this church and others have stood up for. And you owe Jesus. That's who you owe. You owe the liberty that comes from following the truth. Amen? Oh, listen, I can get sort of wax an elephant on that. Amen? The freedom we have in the gospel is what's produced the liberty for America. And just as we've turned our back on the gospel and God, we're losing that freedom. Losing it. Everywhere you turn, George Washington, our first president, made a statement that's still true today and so obviously true. He said, you cannot enslave a Bible-reading people. The opposite of that is you can enslave them when they've turned their back on the truth that set them free. And we are certainly seeing that today. Oh, I hope the election makes some difference. We had the promise that it would. And one of the slogans was, make America great again. And that infuriated some folks because they didn't want to admit greatness had been lost. Been lost just to the degree we walked away from God and from His Word. Make it great again. The only way you'll make it great again is get back to the right God, get back to the right message, and declare it like our forefathers did. Amen. No, truth in Jesus equals freedom. You know, it's too bad so many are enslaved. And by the way, the Muslim world is greatly enslaved. They don't know what freedom is in Christ like we have it. I mean, you got a bad religion, satanic religion, enforcing itself and enslaving masses of people that would love to know they could be set free. Brother Tom, I think about the missionaries. I think about a missionary we had here years ago. He's dead now, but he continued to go back to the field till he was in his 90s. Back into the tribes in the deep jungles that had never heard. I've said this, no missionary ever finds an atheistic crowd nowhere. They all believe in something they call God. That's right, check it out. No atheistic tribes, not by nature. This particular tribe that he went into believed for them to have eternal life, for their ancestors to have eternal life. When an ancestor died, they had to get the meat off the bones. They had to crush the bones. They had to make a milkshake out of the bones that were crushed with the water, and they had to drink it to give eternal life to their ancestors. What a horrifying thought. They had to do that. They did it religiously. It was their religion. But when he got in with the gospel and told them about Jesus, and they found out God loved them while they were sinners, and he said one of the big things when they got saved and came to Christ, they said, Cecil, we no longer have to drink the bones. Boy, you talk about liberty. You talk about being set free from something awful. What a difference the Lord Jesus Christ made, and what a difference he'd make in the so-called world of Islam today, to find out they don't have to blow themselves up to go and commit jihad to go to their heaven. No, Jesus paid the way to your heaven. That shed blood on the cross of Calvary, amen. Man, that's liberating, that's freedom. Oh, that breaks Satan's hold. Satan wants to put his Luciferian society together. He's doing it in a lot of tricky ways, a lot of deceptive ways. I had a fella talking to me just recently. He and I were talking. And some of you better listen to this. There's some so-called secret organizations that you better be careful about. You go to a certain level, and it sounds good. Humanitarian good they do. But you better watch it. When you get on up to the headquarters, it's not a God. And this man got his eyes open because he'd been to just enough church to know just a little bit. And when they begin to tell him, you know what? The name of God has been lost. And it just might be that the real name of God, he said, the bottom line is they were trying to get me to confess Lucifer instead of the true God. Watch out, folks. That's Satan at his intellectual level. Drinking the bones is at his worst level with the heathen. Somewhere in between, he has still got a plan going to make his utopia, to take his kingdom, to rule it instead of Jesus, and to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his plan. He thought he defeated him on the cross for a while, but he found out he couldn't hold him, and he arose the third day, and he's victorious, and he is coming back to take his kingdom. Amen. Amen. The truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. You know, the big reason for our missions is to get the truth out. People like Paul and others in the Bible, martyrs since then, missionaries today, we heard from a couple in Sunday school this morning, backgrounds that some of you could not imagine, and yet God didn't overlook them. He knew about it. And he got the message in, and they got saved, and they're getting the witness out. They're telling, just like Paul was told to tell when he was converted, you and I are told to tell. We're told to go. And folks, if we can't go to the mission field, we can send. That's what our mission plan is, send. And a missionary goes over there, he reaches native people or citizens of that country, like we heard from two this morning. They got saved, and now they're doing the job better than one or two or many missionaries could do on their own. They reach their own people over there and get the job done. That's what it's all about. Tonight, we'll total up our mission goal, and we'll do our best. Thank God we're not alone. Many churches across the land are, because we still know what Jesus said. The last thing he said before he left was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's close to his heart. That's what he wants us to do. Say, I got saved. Why am I still here? To tell somebody else how to get saved. That's why he's still here. You tell them across the yard fence. You tell them in the classroom. You tell them on the job. But you also tell them across the ocean by sending the same truth. That's what it's about. Big reason and cause of the church is to send the gospel. Why we fight in America is to keep the freedom to keep sending it. Somebody says, our preacher ought not be involved in politics. Politics rules your life. Do you know that? Well, you should never talk with anybody about religion. You may offend them. Two most important things in your life is politics rules you while you're alive here. Religion is either going to take you to heaven or deceive you into hell. So those two most important things you're not going to talk about? What's the matter with you? Truth is, brother, you better speak up when you can for truth. And truth prevails whether it's in politics or out of politics. Truth prevails whether it's in a church building or not. We need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, the truth and the lie. Greatest command is to tell the gospel. The Bible commands us to feed the poor. It commands us to help others. But the first commandment is go in all the world and preach the gospel. I believe you ought to feed the poor. I believe you ought to give medical help when you can. But topping it all is the good news that Jesus can save your soul. That's the news we're supposed to keep passing on. Amen? That's the big reason for the church. Jesus said that he came to seek and save that was lost. And that's my job, your job, job of our church. Keep seeking and saving the lost by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever think about it? God wants you to be saved so much. Bible says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I had this thought a little bit in the last few days. You know, it is as almost God moves the universe to reach a soul. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out so much more to it than we can grasp right now. We went to the funeral yesterday. My wife's uncle, and he was up in his 90s, but I thought about it. And then in about the same few days, my closest friend in those days, earlier years, also passed away. I'll try to go to his funeral service sometime tomorrow, maybe. But I got to thinking about that. Isn't it interesting how God takes little things and puts them together? When I was a kid, I'd hear a word about heaven or about hell. I'd hear a word about Jesus or about Santa Claus, and I kind of had them mixed up a little bit as a kid. I didn't understand anything. I didn't go to Sunday school. No bus route to pick me up in those days. But I hear a word, and I hear a word, and I hear a word, and I didn't. Some of it was right, some of it was wrong. But you know what? It was still God getting my attention. And I had thoughts about God I probably shared with nobody. But when I wanted a bicycle, I prayed to God. Called his name, God. When I hurt and pain bad enough, I cried out to God. That's probably describing you. Especially here in America, you done the same thing. You felt the same way. I remember some particular time, I remember thinking, I'd like to have this, that, or the other. And then there'd be a little thought in there. Say, what would you rather have more than anything else in the world? And that little old thought would come, well, I'd really rather know I'm going to heaven. That's fairly deep for a little boy. And then I got to thinking, you know, that man, that uncle of my wife's, he opened up his home for her to come down as a senior girl and live with aunt and uncle to finish high school in Haines City, where an old redneck boy that didn't know any better was racing his race cars. That was me. And then one night in an off night when we were not at the track, my buddy and I were riding around here in town. And of course, boys talk about cars, money, and I'm sorry, girls, you're third. And that's what we were talking about. Well, we got around to girls. And he said, two new girls have moved in up here. And I said, what? And we, you know the conversation. You've heard bits in a book back there. And I said, well, let's date them. He said, they don't date you. They're strange. That's right. And my macho-ness, didn't know it was macho, but it was, braggadocious self, said, date me. My name's in the paper. I won a race last week, blah, blah, blah. He said, hotshot, she won't date you either. I said, yes, she will. He pulled into a phone booth, I know, just right after Noah tied up the ark, there used to be phone booths. He pulled into a phone booth at a service station and, yes, hand me a dime. And I went to the phone and called her. Now, let me show you something. Number one, we had a night off. Number two, the subject came around. Number three, somehow he'd heard this girls were in town here. No accident. All in God's plan. All in God's purpose. I rang the number, and guess who answers? She does. Should have been her uncle. He might have told me to get lost. But she answered. And the conversation went that she'd only go with me to church. Little things. No, God, moving the universe. Maybe a thought I had as a kid. Maybe a particular man that was a deacon in the church opened his home to Sonya to come in and live and finish school down here. And one phone call, one friend that knew about her, one dime and one phone conversation. And the next thing, I'm sitting on the back row of a church hearing what I'm telling you, Jesus saves. Amen. You can be saved by grace. You don't earn it. It's not your works. Best news I ever heard in my life. Amen. Now look, I don't know what God did with the universe, but somehow he put all the little pieces together to where I would hear about Jesus and get saved. See, he had a plan I didn't have. He wanted me to hear the message. Do you know today you may be here because God has moved the universe to get you here to hear a message, to hear about Jesus that loved you and died for you and shed his blood on the cross, to hear about the one that paid for your sins, to hear about the one that gives you eternal life free as a gift. You know, I just happened to come to church this morning. No, you didn't just happen to. God's been motivating and moving. Somebody invited you. Somebody brought you some way or another. Somehow you got here and you didn't maybe even know yesterday you were coming, but you're here. You know, that's what I see when I see our missions around the world and I hear from missionaries like I did this morning. I'm seeing God bringing it all in. He is in a warfare with Satan over who's going to rule the world. Satan wants to stop his truth. God wants to get it out. Now listen, he let me come in here. He didn't make me get saved. I had a choice to make. You have a choice. God has chosen to bring you to the position, to bring you through all the little things that had to come together to let you be here this morning to make a decision for or against Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to stand in God's face and say, you didn't give me a chance. He's going to remind you, I moved this one and that one, and so you could face the truth and say yes or no. This morning, you're not here by accident. God brought you. Maybe he started when you were 6 years old, letting you hear this, that, or the other. I don't know. But he brought you to where you're at. I don't know whether you're 16 or 60 this morning, but if you've never received Jesus Christ, he's brought you to the place right this minute to say yes or no to him. I pray you'll say, yes, but I can't make you say it. I invite you to leave that seat and come forward and take Christ like I did when I heard the gospel, but I can't make you do it. I can just be part of God's plan to tell you, you should do it. And that Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That he'll receive you if you'll receive him. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I thought back on my life and I realized it was a little detail here, a little word spoken here, a little person I met here or there. Something happened, Father. The Father brought across my path to make it possible for me to be saved. And I thank God I am saved because he did all that. Can you lift your hand and say, I'm saved and I remember and I think back and I know except by God's grace those things would not have happened to bring me to Christ. Thank you, so many hands all over the building. Let me ask you to be honest with yourself. I'm looking, God's looking, but we have our heads bowed here in the building. Let me ask you, would you honestly say in your heart, I do remember when God disturbed me with a word here or there. When I had a thought that nothing would be better than going to heaven. When I had a thought I wish I could start my life over again, all the mistakes I've made. Haven't you had those thoughts? Would you be honest with yourself? Haven't you had them? Would you be honest as to why you might even be here this morning to hear what you're hearing? That God maneuvered, moved some things to make it possible for you to hear what you've heard this morning. Would you be honest with yourself and God? He's after your soul. He don't want you to die and go to hell. He wants you to be saved. Would you admit that? Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I believe there's folks like I just described here. I believe out in Radio Land there's people like that. I know, Father, you work that way in my life. I've had testimony after testimony through the years of people that would tell me the little things that came together here and there, and it all was to give them a time and a place in their life to choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I believe there's some here like that this very moment. And Father, I'm going to give an invitation. I responded to your invitation one time a preacher gave. And Father, I've rejoiced in it ever since. And Father, I want to give that opportunity to somebody here this morning that they'd not leave this room unsaved. Or somebody in Radio Land that would bow their head and ask you to be their Savior this very minute. Bless, Lord, in the invitation, I pray. Have your way. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I'm going to step to the front right here. If you'll say, preacher, I believe what you said. I believe I'm here because God wanted me to hear that Jesus would save me. Wanted me to hear if I would come to him, he wouldn't cast me out. Will you meet me right here? I'm going to step down to the front. Would you meet me right here? Leave that seat. Come down. People all around you raise their hand. They were saved, and they'll be praying for you to get saved. Will you come?